Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Kingdom Builders International. This is the Blog Talk Show with Sybil and Melvin Peoples. Welcome, welcome, welcome. The title of our show is God is Good. I know I can get an audience that will attest to that reality that God is good. All the time, and all the time, he is good. Well, welcome. I am so thankful that you have joined us tonight. We're going to dive into the word very shortly. I must share some information with you first. And I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Kingdom Builders International. Now, KBI is good ground. Good ground to sow into what God is doing. You can send your donations to Kingdom Builders International. That address is 16250 Northland Drive, Phil, Michigan, Suite 369. And or contact Kingdom Builders by logging into www.kingdombuildersplaza.com. And remember, all donations are tax deductible. KBI is located at 16250 Northland Drive, Southfield, Michigan, zip code 48375, Suite 369. Join the services. Service time is 11 a.m. Prophetess Teresa Docks, Pastor, or Wednesdays at 6:30, the Jesus Encounter. Now, remember, you can call in for prayer or send in your prayer request. The prayer line is open Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. Central, 6 a.m. Eastern. That number is 218-895-0280. Log in the code 772-937, and the way to remember that, it spells out prayer. Now, we're excited to announce KBI Development Institute Ministerial Classes. If you believe that God is calling you to ministry and do not know what to do next, give us a call and watch God work. Acts 6 and 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Get training, get equipped to manifest. Now, for more information, dial or call 313-583-9739. Some information about our Blog Talk Radio, you can log into www. blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. You click on the following, then you will receive updates on the speakers and upcoming events. At KBI, we are focused on developing character, excellence, and integrity in our youth, along with self-enrichment programs for families that are in need of mental, emotional, and spiritual support. You also can call the office for more information, and that number again is 313-583-9739. And I really apologize. I should have asked you to get a pen and paper that you could write down those announcements, that information, and also have a pen and paper ready as we dive into the Word. I am your host, Sybil Peoples. I have Elder Melvin Peoples, Jr., here with me today. God bless you, Melvin.
Oh, thank God for you, Sister Sybil. Instead of calling me Elder, you can just call me Honey. Praise the Lord. Therefore, we are husband and wife team. I do thank and praise God for his mercies, his goodness, and his grace. And as always, I do say it is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed, because his compassions fail not, and they are renewed each morning. And I thank God for his goodness. Praise the Lord. God is a good God, as you open up the program and you're saying, you know, he's just so awesomely good to us. Good in ways that we as believers haven't fully comprehended yet, mm-hmm. but we're going to understand better by and by. Praise the Lord. God is good, and if you dream that you had a dream that God wasn't good, you wake up and you rebuke yourself, because God is a good God.
All the time. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm really excited about our topic tonight. I would like to dig deeper and get further into this topic entitled, Can You Hear Me? I borrowed this topic from current information. Recently in the news, there has been warning about scammers. And for those of you who did not hear this news recently, they're warning that if you get a call, and the person, and you don't recognize the number, and the person says, can you hear me? It is advised that you hang up, because they're looking to record your yes to apply charges to your phone service on things that you didn't agree to, just by recording only your yes. So there's some advice, one less stress or trouble in your life. If you get a call and you don't recognize the number, just hang up when they ask, can you hear me? But in this spiritual conversation, can you hear me is very interesting. I take my text from the first Samuel, the third chapter. In fact, the entire chapter. So if you have your word, or you have pen and paper, you can jot down the scriptures and go back and read them later, but we're going to dig deep into the topic. Can you hear me from a spiritual perspective?
You know, as you talk about the idea of can you hear me, as I see it comes to my mind, the importance of having a very intimate relationship with God, that spiritual intimacy which is uniquely tailored to us, and these passages of scripture that we're going to go into tonight kind of points that out and lays that foundation. You know, as sons of God, and that's not a gender term; it applies to males and females. But the scriptures often uses the terminology of sons of God. Every one of us, as believers in Christ, once we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we enter into a very intimate and unique relationship with God, a relationship through the power of the Spirit of God that is tailored especially for us as individuals. Amen. Many times, even in the body of Christ, we find that we are very subtly being cloned, amen, to all be the same way. Now, spiritually and scripturally, we should all speak the same things, praise the Lord. But as a unique entity, God is combined himself with us. The scripture says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So we have this unification of the spirit of the Almighty God with our own unique personality and style. And so it's a beautiful thing to talk about the idea of can you hear me? And God is uniquely and spiritually tailoring his dialogue for us as individuals.
So if I understand you correctly, honey, that you're saying that we actually, in our uniqueness, has a unique, one-of-a-kind identity and personality with God.
Amen. Anything less than that would be an insult to the wisdom and the integrity of the creativeness of God. Because what he does is, the beauty of this is, he takes his spirit, and when he comes into us, he combines his spirit with our personal uniqueness. And from that, we are able to produce God in the world. Praise the Lord. It's a very, very dangerous thing when you find all of the people of God cloned, amen, to be a certain way in a personality type. Now, we are uniquely put together, of course, as a spiritual body. But the beauty of it is that that's not the total picture. The reality is that we, as a spirit being, God uniquely combines himself with our unique personalities. There's things that make us uniquely different. Even when you have a set of monozygotic twins, that is perfectly perfect twins, they are so uniquely different in a spiritual sense that, of course, that's not obvious to the natural eye, but that's the way God intended for it to be, that we might have our own personal, unique spiritual relationship with him.
So being one of a kind is extremely important. It's important that we walk and understand that our uniqueness was God's original purpose.
Yes, the uniqueness is what makes a Jeremiah, a Jeremiah, a Daniel, a Paul, the Apostle Paul, and a unique and special personality. And I think that in so many places in the body of Christ, in our various locations and the unique places of our assemblies, we're not valued for that realization. And many times we want people to be cloned. But the best that we can serve the body of Christ is that that uniqueness in which we are specially made by God, and the way that we are shaped by his spirit to be whom he has intended or designed or purposed for us to be. Amen. So I think that if we understand the uniqueness of God and the beauty of his creation, we are willing to allow that very uniqueness to also be respected and honored in the body of Christ.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. In the direction which we're talking about how the Lord intertwines his spirit and our spirit, when I gave the reference scripture in Samuel, it was a bit of a different case scenario. We go to the third chapter in 1 Samuel, and without reading the whole chapter, verse 4 says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lied down again, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him.
And you know, these are beautiful passages of scripture, because what comes out of this immediately as I examine these passages of scripture is that most of us were called before we responded. You see, and that's what we fail to realize. You know, people say, well, when God calls, we respond. But he calls again, and he calls again. I can look back over my spiritual journey before I was filled with the Holy Spirit over 35 years ago, and I can see where God had called me and I did not respond. I remember how my life began to change and the way I began to view things began to change. But finally, Samuel realizes by the leadership of Eli that God had called him. Praise the Lord. He didn't have any experience with the voice of God. And that's an encouragement to those of us who are new converts in Christ. Many times babes in Christ are sometimes confused and they're not they don't have a real clear understanding about how to be led. And they're getting, unfortunately, bad information. But God will make himself available to us in a way that we will have a unique intimacy with his voice. And so Eli recognizes that, Samuel, you done come to me three times. I didn't call you. I'm laying here trying to sleep. Praise God. And he says to him, the Lord calls you. And so finally, the next time God's voice comes to him, he responds in a positive way. Amen. And there begins the intimacy and his relationship and his dialogue with God.
That's really important. I think sometimes we know better, we do better, but I think sometimes in the Christian community, the idea that God doesn't speak or the idea that God doesn't hear us, that our sins prevent God from hearing us. I go back to, and the Lord called unto Adam, where art thou?
Mm-hmm.
Adam had sinned.
Amen.
And fallen, and the Lord was still reaching out, calling out to Adam after the event of this sin that cast all of the rest of mankind into a sinful nature.
And you know what? That's a lockdown passage. Because Adam, of course, he knew that he had sinned and he was hiding from God, but yet he knew he was hiding. That's number one. And he knew that he had committed sin. Praise the Lord. You see, the thing that we have to realize is that although the sinner does not have necessarily a covenant relationship with God, he was made to hear God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And if that's not true, how do we come to him?
Well, I'd like to revisit that topic in Can You Hear Me? God speaking, and do we hear? Are we hearing when the Lord speaks, as is the case in Samuel's case? He didn't know and didn't have a reference to recognize. But I like, before the evening is over, touch on that topic, how our sin condemns our flesh, and that is the thing that tries to stand between God and I. But it's not that God doesn't possess the power, the ability to talk to, reach out, communicate with saved, unsaved, or unsaved mankind.
And you know, the whole purpose of Christ was to come and to seek,
mm-hmm,
and to save that which was lost.
And how could you do that if they can't hear?
If you can't have dialogue, if you can't have a contact, how does that change? You see, what we have done a lot of theological assassination, praise God, unfortunately, to many of the very clear teachings of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' whole purpose was to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. And he had to be able to have dialogue with the lost in order to save.
Yeah.
And how does he do that? He speaks to our heart. Amen. The very subtlety of the Holy Spirit is influential not just upon the believer that has been filled with the Holy Spirit, but it is also seeking and trying to save that which is lost. None of us could come to Christ on our own. Praise God. It took the petition of the Holy Spirit. It took the persistence of the Holy Spirit. It took the love of God through the Holy Spirit in order to be, for us to be able to receive the very love that God had intended for us by being the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And then, as we said before, God had already had a plan before the fall, how he was going to redeem mankind, because he was an omnipotent God with all power and omniscient, all-knowing. He had a plan before the fall. And the way that it was going to be implemented was that the sinner was going to be able to hear his voice. And Jesus was the medium whereby that was supposed to take place. For he is the mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Amen. Well, we're going to go back to Samuel and the 10th verse. And it reads, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." So in this inexperience, this novice position that Samuel was in, Eli in the previous verses instructed him, saying, when you hear the Lord call you, answer him. Answer him and give him the invitation. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And I believe, even as New Testament believers, as born again saints that have the precious gift of the Holy Ghost residing in us, we still are called to answer and say, speak, Lord, I hear it thee. That is what we are called to do.
Amen. And you know the beauty of these passages, if you look at the spiritual dialogue, three times prior to the Lord Samuel acknowledging the Lord called him three times prior to that. Mm-hmm. And Eli told him, said, next time you hear his voice, say, speak, Lord. But on that in that fourth time, that fourth opportunity, the Lord said to him, Samuel, Samuel. He spoke to him twice. It shows to us the persistence of God, mm-hmm, in his determination to get our attention, mm-hmm, in his desire to have intimacy with us, in his desire to offer his sacrifice to us, which was rendered on Calvary, which is to be in an intimate relationship with us. After the fall of Adam, we lost that intimacy, of course. But the beauty in these dialogues is that God continually reaches out to him. He says, Samuel, you can feel the passion through the scriptures. He says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel finally says, speak, Lord. I love that because it shows how much God really loves us. You know, a lot of times we try to paint God as the, and unfortunately people do it theologically, they try to paint God as the big bad ogre. Mm-hmm. But God's will is that none should perish.
Yeah.
And he goes the extra mile, praise the Lord, to reach out to us.
And he offered this in this intimacy. He seeks this intimacy.
Yes.
It is his desire to be close and to be one with us.
Amen.
And this situation where Samuel responded and said, speak, for that servant heareth us.
Yes.
I heard a statement made by another minister that just seemed to be so perfect in its description. And he said the enemy ultimate or his ultimate goal is to either delay your purpose or shipwreck your faith. And in this matter of hearing from God, whether it is Daniel, who was comforted when the archangel was Michael, who came and said, the Lord heard you on the first day that you prayed.
Amen.
But I've been commissioned to give you the answer, but I've been in warfare.
Yes.
I'm ad-libbing.
Yes.
But the story is
he had a delay.
Yes.
Yes.
So in the purpose of the enemy, I can see it so clearly, one, to detain your purpose.
Yes.
And two, to shipwreck your faith.
Amen.
And if we talk about having faith that God speaks.
Yes.
And that God designed mankind to hear him.
Yes.
It would be the enemy's plan to say otherwise, to use or try to come up with devices and theories and lies and deception to get you to buy into some trick that you are not hearing from God.
Amen.
If this is important, that we have intimacy,
yes,
close relationship, that he would be so meticulous to gift the Holy Spirit,
yes,
to be in us, not outside of us, but in us. That shows how important this is to God.
Yes, and we can't say enough about having intimacy with God, because the Holy Spirit does just that. And the beauty of it is it's uniquely tailored to our spirit. And that's what God seeks and desires. When Adam fell and humanity was alienated from God and separated from him, if I can put it in common terms, this was the saddest season that God could have. Because the creature that he designed for himself to bring the intimacy to him as a omnipotent, all-knowledge, all-powerful, and omnipresent, all places at the same time, God with all wisdom and omniscience, as we say. The thing that gave God his greatest satisfaction was his intimacy with his humanity, mm-hmm, not with the things that he had created, not with the creation of the universe and the creatures that he has made, but with man, because man was the clear reflection of himself. One that would have wisdom, would have knowledge, would have perception, would have the intimacy that God could get the feedback, amen, as we get feedback from him as humans.
All right. Well, I want to go and dig a little deeper as we talk about, can you hear me? God is, as we spoke or mentioned, God is definitely speaking.
Yes.
He definitely, and you pointed out so well, it is clear in the scripture, he desires intimacy. He desires closeness and oneness with us. His love says he wants to be close. That's a part of the description that God has for mankind. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that we would have this access for closeness.
Yes.
So we're clear on that. I want to go further, because when we say, when we address the title, can you hear me, it lends to, if I could sum it up, in this communication.
Yes.
And communication varies.
Yes.
We can, for sure, assign communication to the words, spoken words, to sound.
Yes.
The reverberation of the air, as the dictionary defines it. But I want to dig a little bit further. I want to go to Romans 8 and 2, because Romans 8 and 22, it says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That groaning, that description that the whole creation is groaning. And we go further to verse 26, and this is the latter half of the scripture. It says, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Amazing. We have all these forms of communication that we know about, and then God throws another one in the ringer. he says that as mankind and the earth is groaning and travailing, he goes and he speaks to his saints and says that the Spirit is making utterances that cannot be uttered. I mean, making we have groanings that cannot be made with words. That, and I don't know if anybody else out there, and if you are, and you can identify a time where life kicked your butt so much, you didn't even have words. You couldn't find a description to communicate how you felt. I propose to you that farewell could have been those groanings and the utterance of the Holy Spirit getting on your behalf in this ultimate communication that God desires with mankind, with his saints.
And you know what else he says? And I love this piece. He says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Mm-hmm. There are things that we experience in life, and there are times when we're going through trial and tribulation and agonies and losses and pains and deaths, and the list goes on. And we don't have the language to communicate it to God. Mm-hmm. But by having the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is able to translate those deep emotions and feelings to the throne of God. And he that knows the mind of the Spirit can interpret the groans. Oh, hallelujah. That's some powerful stuff.
It is.
That's an awesome God. That's a God who has thought it through.
Glory.
He done figured it out.
Yes.
And so sometimes you can't put words to your agony.
Yes.
Sometimes you can't come up with the right words. I know in the church many times we are taught to have this perfect way of expression, and thank God for the ministers, women and men of God, who are able to orchestrate and to be able to speak a sound word. But sometimes it's just hasha.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just heck of a rasanda da haya. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank
you. You got some started up here now. Sometimes it's just the Spirit that's able to interpret the uniqueness of who we are as creatures of God and as human souls. And I talked a few moments ago about having monozygotic twins, people that look exactly the same, just alike, with the same mold in the same place, but yet they are uniquely and spiritually different before God. And when they have an agony, and when they have a pain, and when they have something that they can't articulate, the Spirit says, I got this. And it represents us at the throne of God. And he that knows the mind of the Spirit, he can interpret the groan. Oh, hallelujah.
And it makes so much sense, because if we find ourselves in a position and we have confidence, or we have the mindset that if I could pray it out, or if I could talk to God about it, if we were relying on this confidence to pray, whether quietly or verbally, whatever level you want to make your announcement, then you have to ask the question, God is not a respecter of person.
Yes.
So now, if I am deaf, am I signing to God? Or let's say that God has been God forever, and before we even had sign language, how was a believer yet, what was the tool that they used to communicate to God?
It's always been the heart.
It's always been the heart.
Because in some of the tragic scenes of torture that have happened to believers down through the ages, many of them would have their tongues cut out.
Oh, my goodness.
But it didn't change a thing, because God speaks to the heart.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We speak to each other's heads because we use human language. But God speaks to the heart. The Holy Spirit interprets, because the Holy Spirit is the very God we serve, spiritual form. When Jesus was crucified upon Calvary and resurrected on the third day, gave to the body of Christ the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God in our lives.
Amen.
And it dwells with our spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And it is uniquely tailored for me because I'm different from you, and et cetera. And so God is able to know and to feel our passions and to understand how we feel when we can't articulate it, when the tongue has been cut out, when the pain is too great, when you can't find human words to express yourself.
And that's important. That's real important.
Yes.
Because as I love the subject or the topic of psychology,
yes,
why we do what we do, it's just so interesting to me that in my journey, I'm ever learning how to describe a thing.
Yes.
I may have, in the beginning, 10 different emotions.
Yes.
And in development, I may be up to 50 different emotions.
Yes.
So sometimes, no matter where we're at in maturity or chronological age, it's a challenge at times.
Yes.
To express what we're feeling, especially when you're overwhelmed with.
Yes.
So it is awesome that God has this provision.
Yes.
That he understands, he knows. And then, unfortunately, we grow in grace and the knowledge.
Yes.
We don't always have access to the truth of what we're dealing with.
Amen.
So God has made provisions. But I also want to put my disclaimer in. Because as much as what we're saying is scripturally true, we also do not want to leave out that, yes, we are the creatures that God made uniquely.
Amen.
With the ability to communicate.
Amen.
And that communication is important to God. He
yes.
gave his word. He gave his holy scriptures. He witnesses in us. He gave us the ability to speak and articulate. We are able to call on the name of Jesus and change the atmosphere. Demons flee,
yes,
and the whole environment, unseen, is yet trembling at our ability to call out through communication, verbal communication, the name of the Lord.
Yes, and you know, as you were saying that, the Lord pressed upon my heart the importance that as believers, we must understand also how powerful we are.
Yes.
And how valuable. You know, many times, unfortunately, even in the body of Christ, we're getting our quote-unquote self-esteem from the world's model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I've got more money, if I live in a nice house, if I drive a nice car, those things are okay in their place. But the thing that makes me special is the fact that Jesus lives inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
We are special because we are gifted in ways that the world is not gifted. We have the ability to discern spirits. The value of that alone, if we were to talk about it in monetary terms, what could it be?
Mm-hmm. No comparison.
There's no comparison. There's nothing to match it with.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the giftings of God that make us special and unique and valuable to the course of this world. Because no matter what we experience in this life, this is only for a season. If I live to be 100 years old, that's a drop in the bucket of time.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord, compared to eternity. Praise the Lord. If I am instrumental, amen, even if I am living in abject poverty, but if I'm instrumental in promoting Christ and causing people to turn to the Lord and that they might have eternal life, that's far more than anything that this world can offer. And so what the enemy wants to do is rob us independently of how valuable we truly are. We're going to find ourselves not being satisfied and not being aware of how powerful we are if we totally take the model of the world's idea of success as ours. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I may never be recognized, amen, as somebody great and special to the world at large. But in Christ, I'm powerful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And knowing that makes the demons tremble.
And it's interesting you said that, because actually, in knowing your value, position, uniqueness, and the overall investment that God has put in each and every one of us, that is compared to the world fame.
Yes.
It has the same fulfillment of accomplishment.
Yes.
I know for me personally, I look and I see gifts, talents, callings. You got a ton of people with the charisma to speak, whether in the church or out of the church. God knows this has been my prayer. Lord, let me sing. I want to sing. It ain't happened like that yet, so I'm still yet unrecognizable as having a gift to sing. But all of those gifts, no matter what they are or the long list of them, the revelation of I'm His very chosen.
Yes.
I had a T-shirt, and my T-shirt was my favorite. It said, in big letters, God loves you. And then under that it said, but I'm His favorite.
Amen.
Amazing, amazing God that would have the ability to make me feel like I'm an only child.
Amen.
To make me feel that I have encapsulated His total capability to love, but yet He has dispensed this to each and every one of us.
Yes.
Powerful. And I want to go a little further into, can you hear me?
Yes.
And we've discussed having confidence and understanding. It's a trick of the enemy to say otherwise in this topic, hearing from God.
Yes.
We went to Romans and we talked about different forms of communication, groanings and utterances, and our spirit being able to communicate even when we have a loss for words with our tongue. And I want to go to present day. I go to Revelation chapter 2 and 17, where it says, he who hath ear,
yes,
to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Can you hear me? We are so blessed to live in this time period of 2017. And God is not slack concerning His promises.
Yes.
If He said, I'll never leave you or nor forsake you, if He say, I'll be with you always, we can have confidence,
yes,
that no matter what is being produced before us, we can remain like a big oak tree,
yes,
steady, rooted, and knowing that God is with us. He's not left us. He's,
yes,
not forsaken us. He is with us no matter what the details. So when Revelation says, hear what the Spirit is saying, I'm asking today, can you hear me?
Yes.
What is the Spirit saying today to the church?
Amen.
In the midst of all that's going on?
And, you know, in that very title, can you hear me? It kind of makes it that personalized thing that we have to keep in mind. It talks about intimacy and having a relationship with God that's uniquely tailored for you as an individual. Praise the Lord. And the question, can you hear me, is for everybody. Praise the Lord, because God is speaking. He's not necessarily speaking in an audible voice, perhaps that still small voice. He's speaking in the events of the time,
mm-hmm,
or the times are telling us where we are, on the prophetic time clock. We know that at any time the Lord could come back for the body of Christ. And the last days actually began after the crucifixion of Christ. Praise the Lord. So we've made the last days, of course, the time frame of our lifestyle or whatever, and every generation has done that. But Jesus could come back at any time. And so we have to always be aware that we have a responsibility as believers to offer the world something that transcends their temporal perspective of life. Amen. The temporal perspective is I got to have a lot of money so I can live comfortably, and I want to enjoy the world, and I want to travel. And all those things are okay in their place. But man is a tripod or a three-part creature. God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. So he's not just a fleshly being, but he's a spirit and he's a soul. Praise the Lord. When we depart, amen, the breath of life leaves us. But yet that doesn't end us as a being. Amen. And God has prepared for us an eternity, amen, that will transcend any hardships, pains, or setbacks that we experience in this life. And so our responsibility is to make people cognizant of the fact that God made you for more than what you are experiencing.
Yeah, more than just work and laundry and pay bills and relationships. It's
Amen.
So much more.
Yes.
And as you spoke earlier, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost.
Yes.
We call ourselves Christians, derivative of Christ-like. So if Christ's purpose and mission was to come to seek and to save that which was lost, that also becomes our mission,
Amen.
Being Christ-like. We are on an assignment. And I like the way you said that we are tripart beings, spirit, soul, and flesh.
Yes.
When we talk about this mission, we are commissioned to go out,
yes,
and give what the world has, what the world is missing.
Yes.
The world has a void concerning this spiritual depletion. So when we think about going out to seek and save that which is lost, having the purpose to be Christ-like to a dying world, we are on the mission to provide the spiritual part of us as beings.
Yes.
We have what they need. We have the missing puzzle piece.
Yes.
We are the flavor to what they're hungry for. We're
Amen.
The salt to the world.
Yes.
We are the light to their darkness.
Amen.
And to have that mindset, to rely on it was God's purpose, it's God's word. I now belong to him. I am bought and purchased. So when I go to seek and save that which is lost, I am totally dependent upon God. And this dependency on God, God is going to lead, God is going to give, God is going to know every detail and every aspect of what that individual is longing for, how to hook them, how to witness to them. Every component is a God matter. And if we turn and look and decide that I need wealth or I need the right articulation of words or I need education, I didn't make it to Bible school, I don't have the tools wherewith to recite the scriptures and understand the history or get the different languages, whether Greek or Hebrew. If we rely on those things, we're relying on our ability. And the gospel says that the scripture says it is the gospel that is the power unto salvation. So our mission to go out into the world and the world so longing to have this void filled with this God that is so good.
Yes. And you know what, Sister Sybil, the church, unfortunately, in many places, we have been guilty from the pulpit of making believers that you don't have an effective testimony or witness unless you know the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read the scriptures, you find that the people that testified and spoke of Jesus had no scriptures.
And won the world.
And they were able to the apostles, if you refer to them, of course, they had the Old Testament. They did not have the New Testament, of course. they were the living embodiment of the New Testament that had yet to be written. But I use the example of the woman who went back and told everyone, come meet a man.
The woman at the well.
That told me everything about myself. Mm-hmm. She didn't quote scriptures. She quoted and spoke of the intimate relationship that she had with the Savior.
Intimate encounter.
Encounter. And so what we have to understand as believers, you may not quote Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah in the Old Testament and the New Covenant passages of scripture that relate to Jesus, but you can say, come meet a man. And with the passion that God puts in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can transform lives. I didn't have scriptures when I started witnessing concerning Christ. I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I said this on numerous occasions, on a Monday morning. Took off from work, went to church because I was convicted by God. The pastor met me there and baptized me, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was witnessing on my job later that evening. So what I'm trying to say is, and it was a convincing witness, because people said to me, you look different. You've changed. And that was only from a brief encounter of a few hours in a baptism. So as believers, we have to have passion about the experience. The scriptures will come. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, that's right. But it is the intimacy of a true and a living God that validates our testimony.
Validates us. What a powerful way to end the conversation. It validates us. And there's many, many forms of communication.
Yes.
So our witness, it's broad. It stretches even as far as our lives.
Yes.
We have neighbors and we have people that are on the outside looking into our lives. Sometimes through other people.
Yes.
I know oftentimes that I'll hear about my adult children's friends or extended family members that may inquire. Sometimes, or I should say, we never know who we are, what we stand for, what we believe in, how the Lord even blesses us. How that ministers to the law.
Amen.
The journey of salvation, it is usually riddled with questions.
Yes.
The world will start asking questions, well, why are they blessed? The world will start asking questions, well, what's the difference with them? They don't seem to be all sad and upset. They don't seem to be all bent out of shape about Donald Trump. They don't seem to be depressed about an election win, and your joy or your peace, your position with God is a form of communication.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And that's why, as believers in Christ, many times we have been robbed because we say, well, I don't know the scriptures, but you know the experience.
Yes.
And that's what the world will hear. The world doesn't need a lot of scriptures. They need a lot of living. They need a lot of life. They need to hear some hope from those, praise the Lord, who have had an intimate encounter with the Savior.
And that's what matters. And I would like to speak to my audience, to any of my listeners, anyone who may have tuned in just to see what these people are talking about. We are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're talking to you about the Lord Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior. You have an opportunity to have a close and intimate relationship with the Lord in this life, and then the extended benefits is life eternal. So you have benefits in this life, and then you have the benefits of life everlasting with the Lord. As American Express says, that truly is priceless. You do not want to miss an opportunity. You do not want to delay another day. You can't afford it. You can't afford it because we don't get promises about tomorrow. So you want to take advantage. You want to say yes, yes, Lord. He's beckoning. He's calling. He's reaching out to you. As he says in Revelation, he's standing at the door knocking. Whether it's at this moment or later tonight or in the next hour or so. You only have to answer. Samuel did in the first chapter, in Samuel 1 in the third chapter. He says, "Speak, Lord, here am I." And that is all that salvation is. It's just accepting the Lord as the Lord and Savior of your life, saying yes and confessing with your mouth that he is your Savior. You shall be saved. You believe that he's your Savior. You believe that God sent him. He went through the grave to heaven, rose again, and thereby is your salvation sealed until the day of eternity. We want to thank everyone tonight for tuning in. God bless you. We will be here the third Thursday in this month of February. So please share, invite, send a message out, talk to other people. We'd like to build a greater audience, and that's only possible through you sharing. I mean, all the time, I saw a good movie last weekend. I had to tell somebody. So we just do it, and we do it without any hindrances when it comes to different parts of our lives. So share the word, tell somebody, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Elder, did you have a...
I just thank God for the opportunity to share in the word of the Lord. I pray that all of the guests were some way edified. Keep us in your prayers, praise God, that the Lord will continue to bless and give us wisdom and knowledge and insight. Open doors and make ways. And we thank you just for the time and space that you have shared with us this evening.
Amen.
God bless you much.
I want to have just a really brief prayer before we close out. I got about another minute. Father God, we just bless your holy and righteous name. We thank you for each and every caller, every listener, oh God. We thank you for you know them by name and number, oh God. You know well beyond what we can know, Father. We thank you for every person listening that has a request before you, oh God. We thank you for every listener that is desiring healing in their body, oh God. We thank you, Father, for financial needs being met. We thank you, Father, for family, extended family members, Father, for there are some who are just burdened by loved ones and what they're experiencing and the different trials and tribulation in this life. Lord, we thank you for answering prayer. We thank you, Father, for deliverance over individuals. We thank you for salvation for listeners, oh God. We thank you for, as we said at the opening of this call, good, and we'll forever give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you, Elder. Thank you for being my guest, and look forward to, again, coming together to uncover and bless the people with his word.
Yes.
Amen. Good night.
Amen.